Talk. Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
At 7:45 this Thursday morning, this worldview is brought to you by Outsurance. SMS out to 30674 now. You could save on car insurance. If you don't, ask them for 500 Rand. Adam, a very, very good morning. We start with the harrowing news, as always, of difficulties in getting aid into Gaza.
Yeah, morning, Africa. Yeah, this is coming out of Gaza's Hamas-run media office. So we take a tiny pinch of salt and then we go, well, they're not making this up because there are pictures to prove it, basically. This is the race for aid that is being parachuted in. The US, UK and Jordan have all been parachuting in mega aid packages. Two American C-17s airdropped 46,000 MREs, meals ready to eat, on Monday. The RAF, 10 tons of water, rice, flour, etc. the day after. But the aid drops are, like we remember, if you remember the Bridge Too Far film about the Second World War,
yes,
about an incident in the Second World War, airdrops are not exact. It's still the same as it ever was. You literally push a crate off the back of a plane and the crates don't always land in the right places. So what Hamas is saying is that people are scrambling for it. 12 people have drowned because the aid packages landed in the sea and they went into the sea to retrieve the food packages, and too far out, they went down. Six others were trampled to death in stampedes when the parachuted aid came down, because there's nobody on the ground, of course, to oversee the distribution. And starving people don't always have a fairness about them. I mean, why should they, for goodness sake? But airdrops are clearly not the perfect answer to the aid that's needed by Gaza. And indeed, as local officials put it, they're offensive, inappropriate and useless. Not sure that we'd go quite that far from this distance, but after all, they're on the ground. It's not the answer. But then the alternatives are not going particularly well either, are they, for delivering aid to Palestinians?
It was a thing about a week ago when the United Nations says it has enough food at or near Gaza's border to feed the enclave's 2.2 million people, but there is no way of getting that food to the people who are in desperate need on the road, right?
That's it. And blocked at various crossings, and the Israeli Defense Forces are only allowing a certain number of drivers in. They want them to be verified. They basically don't want to see weapons being delivered, and therefore the stringent checks are delaying and denying food to those 2.2 million people. Absolutely.
Yeah. Shifting gears quite dramatically now, China is looking to develop a Slovakian prototype that might have you flying your car next time, Adam.
Yeah, the air car, which we were all talking about. 3 years ago, it was it had a trial. It basically flew for half an hour or so from one part of Slovakia to another. It looks terribly funky. It looks a bit like a Porsche with wings. It's not quite practical because stowing the wings is always a big problem, but it does work. A flying car. Weren't we all meant to be in flying cars by now? It takes just over 2 minutes to transform from a car into an aircraft. Well, now a Chinese firm called Hebei Jingxing Flying Car Technology, they're wasting any time with their title, are they? They are looking to take it further. The air car, and there's a clue in the name, still needs a runway and does not take off or land vertically. So as practical devices go, I mean, if you think I'm driving my car, right, I need to fly to Johannesburg. Yeah, but you've got to go to the airport first to take off. You might as well just get on a plane. It'll go much faster. I mean, a proper plane, as it were. The UK government has talked of flying taxis within 4 years. They say flying taxis in Britain as a regular feature within 4 years. China has already licensed a flying taxi business, given that these are very early trials. The only thing is, Africa, given how people drive on the roads, do we really want the same idiots in the air crashing into houses and pylons and hospitals and you name it?
Oh, Bowen, I just had a horror image of a taxi service that is flying. They are a danger on the ground, imagine, when they are on the airways. I'm one of those people who never watched the movie The Titanic. It was 3 hours and 20 minutes of my life I wanted to do other things with as opposed to watching. But apparently there's an important prop, was it, that is on sale?
Yeah, indeed. It's the big talking point of Titanic, excuse me, of the film, as opposed to the actual incident. And the big talking point, of course, was not the loss of life, the lack of lifeboats, what the orchestra played as the boat went down. It was that floating piece of wood that meant that Rose would survive, but Jack wouldn't. The whole thing about it's not big enough for both of them. Well, that door in the film has sold at auction, sold off by Planet Hollywood, has sold for $720,000, 13 and a half million rand. In the film, Jack says there isn't room for them both, therefore condemning himself to an icy death. Rose seems quite happy to accept that. Yeah, you're right. In fact, the door, as used in the film, is 2.4 meters long, that long, and a meter wide. Yeah, do you know what? Bags of room. I am sure that my wife and I have slept in hotel beds smaller than that, 2.4 meters by 1 meter. So I love the fact the director of Titanic, James Cameron, says he still to this day gets dozens of emails every day saying how selfish Rose was and what an idiot Jack was. Couldn't they have shared the door? Couldn't they? In Mr. Cameron's view, look, as he put it, the dude is going down. It's in the script.
That's it.
Know, maybe they should have just made the prop smaller, though. That would might have settled the argument.
Indeed. Adam, thank you very much. Have a blessed Easter. No doubt you'll be back with Lesser Kevin, of course, on Tuesday next week.